watched by all the rules. They watched by our leaders, by our kings and queens. They watched in the open and they watched behind the scenes.
Is highly confused.
He's an automaton.
Let's challenge his shattered view of the world.
Here's the little wedge for the never believer. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Why would you do it with me? No, no, no.
You got it wrong.
We have to stand up for the
protection
of alien fire. You saw all of the things that's wrong. Would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn and walk away? What would you do if you knew all the things we knew?
Love is the only truth, everything else is illusion.
I'll pick up your hand slowly, blow your little mind, because I made my mind up.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. Come together right now.
And welcome to Total Information Radio for December 10th, 2007. As always, we are on live Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech, currently accessible via revereradionetwork.com. And as always, we are listener-supported and do need some donations right now, so there is a PayPal link there. We've been having some trouble with our web hosting, and so we do need a few bucks to get our web hosting up, so we would really appreciate that. We basically have three main expenses. That is web hosting, paying for the stream, and paying for the phone line, which is 1-877-REVERE-0. And we have quite a show lined up for you tonight. There is crazy breaking news on the 9/11 TV fakery front. Some of the great researchers out there have apparently caught one of these perps red-handed, and he has run away like a little girl. We are going to break that down for you later in the program. We have, as always, we have a nice little Ron Paul update for you. Break down just a little bit some of these this strange shooting that happened last week. As always, you can check in at total411.info. Check out the information posted there. It's really from Citizens for Legitimate Government, legitgov.org, and actually they've updated since then, and we're going to be updating total411.info to reflect their information, but big props out to Lori Price, who's been on top of all the strange military activity there. And if you check out the story we posted a few days ago and click, check out the comments, someone has posted up some more background, apparently based on the reporting on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is very interesting. It's something we can't totally verify, but a lot of it does fit in. And the question they're raising is whether or not there's some kind of attempted coup activity going on vis-a-vis Bush being in Omaha before the shooting. We do know that the Department of Homeland Security, this is what we'll be putting up soon, but this particular mall that this latest mass shooting was at has gotten special grants from the Department of Homeland Security. So again, and of course there were folks in camouflage there at the scene, and it looks like there's some kind of military activity there. So we're going to break that down for you, and I wanted to hit this at the beginning of the show, actually. If you've been listening to Revere Radio all day, like I know you have been, or if you're getting this from the podcast feed, before this on the podcast feed, I'll throw this up there. Our friend Jack Blood, who simulcast over Revere Radio Network today, replayed a classic show from December 8th, 2005, concerning the assassination of John Lennon, wherein yours truly, James Truth, appeared on the program to discuss that assassination. And I just wanted to follow that up because Jack he replayed the show and did an epilogue afterwards. We really thank him for doing that. Jack's pulling some of his information from Salvador Astucia. He's at jfkmontreal.com. And we do want to credit Mr. Astucia for doing a lot of important research on the John Lennon assassination, including fingering Jose Joaquin Sanyenis Perdomo, a.k.a. Jose Perdomo, a.k.a. Sam Genis, a.k.a. Joaquin Sanyenis, a anti-Castro Cuban tied in with the CIA and Operation 40 and Poppy Bush and that whole bunch going back to the Bay of Pigs operation, who coincidentally happened to be the doorman at John Lennon's apartment building, the Dakota, which, of course, when Lennon got sick of living under the Queen and the Crown after they killed his friend Paul McCartney and he wanted to move to America, of course, the Illuminati witch Yoko Ono decided to move him to the most evil building in Manhattan, the Dakota, where they filmed Rosemary's Baby. The point being here is that a couple things Jack said I don't totally agree with, particularly the fingering of Fred Seaman. Now, Fred Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, was John Lennon's personal assistant for the last several years of his life there in New York City. And I've actually got a copy of Fred Seaman's book, which is out of print. It has been banned from print by Yoko Ono. And again, if you go check out Salvador Astucia's research over there, you'll see he has some biases which can throw off his conclusions despite the good research he's done. Among the biases are that the root of all evil is everything with Jews and Zionists. And, you know, that's fine, the Zionists and Judaism. It's very fucked up and so on, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't mean they are behind everything evil. You know, when a false flag, when an operation occurs in the U.S., usually the CIA is involved, and when they're killing a Brit, you know, usually the Queen's involved, the Crown's involved somehow. And if you read the Fred Seaman book, you see, Fred Seaman trashed John Lennon because he said John Lennon did drugs. Well, no shit, John Lennon did drugs, and there's nothing wrong with doing the kind of drugs he was doing usually. You know, he did have periods where he did bad drugs. Yoko Ono had him on heroin for a time. But if you read the Fred Seaman's book, he talks about how John separated himself from Yoko because John and Fred and his son, Sean, went to Bermuda in the last year or so of his life. And John started taking psilocybin mushrooms, which Fred procured for him. And psilocybin mushrooms are a powerful anti-mind control substance. And it really helped open John up, and it got him to start recording again, quite frankly, which was what the powers that be did not want. So if you actually read Fred Seaman's book, it's a very sympathetic portrayal of John Lennon. And, you know, despite the fact, ooh, he did drugs, ooh, and all this stuff. Of course, it's not a sympathetic portrayal of Yoko Ono. As well, it shouldn't be, because Yoko Ono was his handler and was a high-level Illuminati witch, a member of a Japanese bankster family, and, of course, central banking, one of the primary conduits of Illuminati control. So, and then Yoko went after him for, like, he published a couple photos in the book, and then, like, horror for, she said he stole things from John, including, like, a scarf and a couple of other things. And now, you have to understand, Yoko was going through Lennon's money like it was water. She would go out and buy them tons of clothes, which they would wear once or never. And so, you know, so he had a scarf. Fred Seaman had one of John Lennon's old scarves, and this was a big scandal. Now, the other thing where I can see where a lot of the confusion where Jack and some of these other people coming from was the fact of the journals. Fred Seaman claimed that John Lennon asked him to get the journals to Julian Lennon in case anything happened to him. Of course, that is disputed by Yoko Ono's estate. And, of course, Julian Lennon and Yoko Ono had a fallout for several years. Yoko tried to cut him off from all the money. Eventually, they reached some kind of resolution. He got, you know, a little bit of money, not the kind of money Yoko and Sean get. And, you know, they reached some kind of detente. But to me, the idea that John wanted, especially after he started flowering and waking up again, John wanted his journals in the company of someone else. That's not a huge surprise. The problem is that this other guy, Fred Rosen, got involved, and this guy is a very shady character, and he somehow got a copy of the journals, and this is where you can question what Fred Seaman was up to. I would have preferred, of course, Rosen pulled from the journal selectively. He was tied in with some of the Star Wars SDI establishment, of course, and, you know, those might have been some of the same forces that were involved. And again, if you listen to the Jack Blood show, it's a good hour and a half examination of the whole issue and how the Lennon assassination tracked very well and paralleled with the attempted Reagan assassination. And so we see similar forces there behind what was going on with, you know, increased defense or war spending and space war and Star Wars and SCI and all that sort of thing. And somehow this guy, Fred Rosen, who wrote speeches for the Secretary of the Air Force at the time, did get a hold of the journals and wrote a book called Nowhere Man about John that was, it was an anti-Lennon book, frankly. But we never got to see the journals, so we don't know what we do know that Fred Rosen picked the bad stuff out of them. Eventually Yoko got them back, so we don't really know what all the dirt might have been that might have shed more light on the true Beatles story. And of course, if you listen to this broadcast, this webcast, this podcast, we've gone into that into a lot of detail there. So I just want to throw that out there that Fred Seaman might not be the villain that others have always portrayed him to be. I did want to touch on this whole H.R. 1955 issue, the thought crimes issue. There's a new scary bill there. It's already passed the House, H.R. 1955. It's called something like the Domestic Terrorism Act, Domestic and Homegrown Terrorism Act. I'm going to pull up the details that for you right now. And there's going to be a companion bill in the Senate on that issue, and that is HR. In fact, let's go to thomas.loc.gov. Again, if you're the kind of person who wants information for yourself as far as what's going on in the Congress, you want to go to Thomas, as in Thomas Jefferson, .loc, as in Library of Congress, .gov, as in government. And that is a fairly up-to-date, sometimes they're a couple days behind, database on what bills are going through the Congress. So the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007 has passed, and it was introduced by Representative Jane Harman. Now, you might remember she was, by seniority, she was slotted to take over the House Intelligence Committee. But even she was too close to AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. She was too close to Israel, even for Nancy Pelosi, the new speaker, who is heavily tied into the criminals up there at Bohemian Grove in Northern California, where her husband, who is a top hedge fund billionaire, is a top member of Bohemian Grove. And even she was too close to these shady Israeli-type people to be head of the Intelligence Committee. But anyway, the bill has passed the House by an unfortunately overwhelming vote. And there is a companion bill in the Senate introduced by Senator Susan Collins of Maine. And she is a Republican. And this is breaking. This is an exclusive to Revere Radio Network and Total Information Radio right now. Our sources in Washington have reported that Senator Joe Lieberman, the horrible independent Democrat heavily tied into Mossad, is going to introduce his own version of this bill, except the trick is his version of the bill is going to kind of be more blatantly racist and anti-Arab and anti-Islam, and the language will be more explicit in that regard. So we're going to have a thesis, antithesis, synthesis situation going on, where you're going to have people like Jane Harman. And now the new news is that Barack Obama, the CFR darling of Oprah Winfrey and all these idiot leftists out there, he's making noises like he's going to support this horrible Susan Collins bill. So they're going to have Joe Lieberman put up his bill, which is the same thing, except it's going to be more obvious that it's targeted against the Arabs. They're like, well, we can't pass Joe Lieberman's racist anti-Arab police state bill. We have to pass a police state bill that's going to crack down on everybody. And this is what people have been going to, you know, the left-wing activists who are going to Jane Harman's office, they get her screaming at them about this for hours on end. So it's a very ugly situation, and we wanted to point that out. And we also wanted to point out that the bill came out of nowhere to the House floor. It didn't have any committee hearings. It wasn't regularly scheduled or anything like that, and that's why, unfortunately, Congressman Paul was unable to vote against it. So, you know, you've got your handful of idiots and shills out there saying, oh, if Ron Paul is really against the police state, why didn't he vote against this bill? It's because he was out campaigning, and they had just scheduled regular bullshit that day, you know, like the you know, vote to commemorate some flower or something. And instead, they brought this up. It's called the suspension calendar, which is only supposed to be used for non-controversial bills, and stuff brought up on the suspension calendar can only pass by two-thirds majority, and that's what they used to pass this bill with no hearings, no pre-announced schedule to have it voted on the House floor. And so that is the current state of affairs with the Homegrown Radicalization and Violence Terrorism Prevention Bullshit Act, blah da 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 da. Of course, also in the past week, we saw that the Intelligence Committee, some kind of vague sanity has presided enough in the intelligence community, rather, not Intelligence Committee, the Intelligence Community releasing that estimate saying that Iran is not about to nuke us all, so we probably really don't need to nuke them immediately. And that is what Congressman Paul's legislative update is about this week, so we are going to check in on that. And then we're going to get to some other news. And again, we are live right now, and you can call in at 877-REVIEW-0. We're going to break down some stuff in more detail later. But here we go. We are going to check in with a good doctor right now. He's going to tell us about Iran. By the way, there is an all-Spanish Univision debate last night. I still haven't been able to
Hello,
find English.
Hello, this is Paul with your weekly update for December 9th.
Word.
The latest national intelligence estimate has been greeted by a mixture of relief and alarm. As I have been saying all along, Iran indeed poses no quantifiable imminent nuclear threat to us or her neighbors. It is with much alarm, however, that we see the administration continue to ratchet up the war rhetoric as if nothing has changed. Indeed, nothing has changed from the administration's perspective, as they have had this latest intelligence report for some time. Only this week has it been made known to the public. They want it both ways with Iran. On the one hand, they discredit the report entirely, despite it being one of the most comprehensive intelligence reports on the subject, with over 1,000 source notes in the document. On the other hand, when discrediting it fails, they claim that the timing of the abandonment of the weapons program, just as we were invading Iraq, means our pressure must have worked, so we must keep it up with a new round of even tougher sanctions. Russia and China are not buying this, apparently, and again, we are finding ourselves on a lonely, tenuous platform on the world stage. The truth is, Iran is being asked to do the logically impossible feat of proving a negative. They are being presumed guilty until proven innocent, because there is no evidence with which to indict them. There is still no evidence that Iran, a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, has ever violated the treaty's terms. And the terms clearly state that Iran is allowed to pursue nuclear energy for peaceful civilian energy needs. The United States cannot unilaterally change the terms of the treaty, and it is unfair and unwise diplomatically to impose sanctions for no legitimate reason. Are we to think that Iran hasn't noticed the duplicitous treatment being received by so-called nuclear threats around the globe? If they have been paying attention, and I think they have, they would see that if countries do have a nuclear weapon, they tend to be left alone or possibly get a subsidy. But if they do not gain such a weapon, then we threaten them. Why wouldn't they want to pursue a nuclear weapon if that is our current foreign policy? The fact remains, there is no evidence that they actually have one or could have one anytime soon, even if they immediately resume a weapons program. Our badly misguided foreign policy has already driven this country's economy to the brink of bankruptcy with one war based on misinformation. It is unthinkable that despite lack of any evidence of a threat, some are still charging ahead into yet another war in the Middle East, when what we ought to be doing is coming home from Iraq, coming home from Korea, coming home from Germany, and defending our own soil. We do not need to be interfering in the internal affairs of other countries and waging war when honest trade, friendship, and diplomacy are the true paths to peace and prosperity. Thanks for calling this update. A new legislative update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Monday morning.
There you go. Congressman Dr. Ron Paul on the Iran National Intelligence Estimate. Now, the other big news, of course, is the Ron Paul blimp. This is a totally independent effort. You can check it out at ronpaulblimp.com. Fortunately, they've taken down their fight plan, so I wanted to kind of give an update about that. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit more about the blimp in just a second, but we're going to take our first music break a little early in the show, because we do have special blimp theme music. So here's Captain Beefheart and Frank Zappa with the blimp.
You ready?
Children, stop your nursing, unless you're into it fun. The mothership, That we have a just use that as is for the album. Okay, I'm gonna listen to it back now. I gotta go back to it.
All right, there we go. It's a blimp. It's a blimp. The blimp, the Ron Paul blimp, was supposed to take off this morning from Elizabeth City, New York, but it has not yet. Now they're saying Tuesday afternoon, maybe Wednesday, depending on the weather. Anyway, it's an interesting thing. They've structured the Ron Paul blimp as a for-profit company, so it won't be subject to these crazy unconstitutional so-called campaign finance laws. And what it is, if you want to support the blimp, you go to ronpaulblimp.com and throw some money. Unfortunately, I think they're still using Google Checkout. They really need to get, and I guess you can also wire transfer. They really need to get another way to take payments, because I know personally Google has way too much of my information. They don't need my credit card number. So the point is, it's taken off. Now they're saying December 12th, looking at ronpaulblimp.com. And they want to be up by the Boston the Ron Paul Tea Party in Boston, Massachusetts. And of course, it's the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. And the Ron Paul Tea Party is the next big money bomb. We're going to try to raise several more million dollars for the Ron Paul campaign on that day. And the Ron Paul blimp, which is separate from the campaign, will be over Boston that day. Assuming everything goes well, there's going to be a cold system in. And, of course, to get a good blimp flying, you need to have, you can't be really super freezing cold weather, and you can't be windy, and it can't, there can't be precipitation really. So they're hoping they can sneak in right behind a storm system and be there for the big tea party festivities. I think Dr. Paul might be up there, and of course many of our revered radio network friends are going to be having an Austin tea party in Austin, Texas that day. So if you're closer to Austin than Boston, you might want to check that out. But the blimp will be in Boston. And if you want to support this, what it is you're paying for advertising on the blimp. And I think if you give them more than $250, they're asking you to print out a form and mail it to the FEC, because the Federal Elections Commission, because then that will count as an independent expenditure. But since it's an independent expenditure, it's not subject to any of the campaign finance giving restrictions, where you can only give $2,300 to the Ron Paul primary, Republican primary election campaign. So that's going to be interesting. They're expecting some of the fascists inside the Bush administration and the FEC to go after the Ron Paul blimp campaign. So they have retained lawyers, including a former FEC commissioner who, his name's Bradley Smith, and he's got a history of actually being against most of the campaign finance laws because of their horrible anti-First Amendment restrictions. So there you go. I think that is going to be the Ron Paul update for this week. I was hoping to get a copy of the English feed of the Univision debate last night. Tom Tancredo boycotted the debate, but all the other Republican candidates did show up, and it was in Miami, so you had a bunch of the anti-Castro Cubans in the audience there. And even though Ron Paul got big applause for, you know, saying we need to end the Iraq war and so on and so forth, he got a lot of boos for saying we should trade with Castro. they really did not like that. Personally, that's not a deal breaker for me. I can say you probably want to have good, normal relations with, say, Chavez in Venezuela because he's a socialist and not a communist. Communism, there can be a legitimate argument for cutting a communist country off in many ways because, of course, what separates communism from socialism is the dimension of having a global ambition. Communism is a globalist ideology. And a communist wants to impose socialism across the globe on every country and institute a world government. So that, you can have an argument there. But, you know, there are also good arguments for saying we need to open up trade with Cuba. It is 10:32. It is Monday, December 10th. We do have lines open at 1-877 Revere Zero. We are going to do an in-depth examination of this new 9/11 TV fakery controversy. I think we might run to a music break first, and then we're going to break this down. Hopefully, we might get one of the researchers who helped break this issue open onto the program with us tonight, but if we don't, that's okay, because we've got a lot of key audio and analysis that we can do without their benefit on the show tonight. So we are going to listen to, this is an interesting song I found. This is a late 80s rap mashup by Brian Wilson, the founder and musical genius behind the Beach Boys and Pet Sound and all that good stuff. And he kind of did a mashup of his own songs in the late 80s. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So here is Smart Girls from Brian Wilson. And when we get back, we're going to break down for you the new 9/11 TV fakery scandal. So enjoy that. Be right back. RevereRadioNetwork.com, Total411.info.
My name is Brian and I'm the man. I write hit songs with the wave of my hand. Songs that surf and sun and sand. I make great music. Songs against you and songs of joy, cause I'm the original.
intelligence is an aphrodisiac. So if you're seeking that perfect mate, listen to Brian.
And we are back on the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. I forgot to mention earlier, if you do go to revereradionetwork.com and click on the chat link, we have a Skype text chat room that will bring you right up there. And a couple people hanging out in there. You can ask me questions there. And maybe I'll be paying enough attention to answer. No, I'll be there. Quick programming note, for those of you in the live audience, if you missed a Jack Blood show today, we're going to go ahead and replay that after tonight's broadcast, has concluded. And now we're going to get into the, big 9/11 TV fakery news. This is quite exciting. One quick note, by the way, I had someone ask me about this earlier today. There is a new 9/11 TV fakery video out there. I think it's on livevideo.com. It's called Foxed Out. And I just we cannot fully endorse that new video, really. Social Service, who did the September Clues series, which is very good. Especially the first four or five parts. Number six has some problems that maybe we'll talk about on a different program. That'll probably upset some of my friends in the TV fakery research movement. But this new one we really can't endorse. The gentleman who made the film is from Norway, I think, and you know, the vast majority of Americans don't understand a lot of fundamental aspects of the TV business. We do here because we've been reporting on television for 20 years. And some of the intricacies of who is affiliated with what, and the different relationships that different companies have with each other, it goes beyond most Americans. So I can understand how a European would make some of the mistakes in that film. So skip Foxed Out. Go check out September Clues parts 1 through 4, maybe 1 through 5. That would be far more edifying. Anyway, we want to talk tonight about Devin Clark. And this is very interesting. Our friend, the great Jeff Hill, a.k.a. DJ Shore from PumpItOut.com, our favorite Canadian. He calls folks involved in 9/11 and asks some questions. And he does such a good job at it and gets some really revealing answers from them. And the great part is he can record the calls and post them on the internet because he's in Canada and it's perfectly legal. It's legal in like 40 out of 50 U.S. states as well. But you get a little trouble in some in a couple states. And he called Devin Clark, who supposedly took footage of UA-175, United Flight 175, hitting the South Tower on 9/11. And the interview was just so revelatory that the guy has chickened out, bugged out, retreated. He's taken down his YouTube account. He's taken down his website and is trying to scrub the evidence. But, you know, it's too late. So we're going to jump into playing that phone call now, maybe give you some commentary over it as we play it, and then come back with some analysis. We were hoping to get Jeff on the show tonight to help us break it down, but as he always does when he says he's going to be on the show, he's totally disappeared, so we're probably going to have to do this without him. But you really want to check out this phone call. So here we go. Jeff Hill and Devin Clark. This was last night. Let's take a listen, shall we?
Hello? Hi, Devin?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jeff. I talked to you like a couple months ago about your video about 9/11.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, sorry to bother you again. I was just wondering, I never got a chance to ask you, where exactly did you film that from?
I filmed that from One Penn Plaza, which is on 34th and 8th Avenue, the large office building right near Madison Square Garden.
And that was the window that you filmed it from, yeah?
From the 24th floor of One Penn Plaza.
And do you still have the video on the internet, or is there any way to get it anymore? Because I noticed the website's gone now.
Oh, which website?
Is it the Wax something?
No. So I had it up on one website for a while, and people just took it and put it up on their own website. So I don't. I think it's on YouTube still.
Oh, the one on YouTube is still there?
Go to YouTube and search for What I Saw or Devin Clark. You should find those videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't there no more.
Do you still, are you in contact with a guy named Michael Ubaldi anymore?
Mike Ubaldi, yeah.
Yeah. You had went to school with him or something?
Yeah.
So you're still in contact with him and stuff?
No, I haven't talked to him in years, right?
Well, I was just reading something on the internet about, it was talking about Devin Clark and his roommates from school.
Okay.
And it mentioned Mike Ubaldi.
Do you know Mike Ubaldi?
I have no idea who he is.
Oh, why do you ask that?
I was just reading an article and it said something, he was part of the some kind of Republican Party or something like that.
Oh, I have no idea. He was just my freshman roommate. I was friendly with him after that because we were in the same school, but I don't really talk to him. I haven't talked to him since graduation.
Yeah. Like, have you looked on the internet and saw the controversy about the videos of the planes, or...?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of different propaganda and all kinds of... I'm friends with a couple of people who do, you know the film Zeitgeist?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm friends with the creators of that. I've heard the whole gamut from it was a hologram to it was created by, you know, done by, organized by the, orchestrated by the Bush administration. I've heard the whole gamut at this point.
So you yourself, though, after, like, you took into consideration all the stuff that's being said, like, do you believe the official story yourself, or?
You know what? I really don't. But I also don't know what the official story is. Or if it was orchestrated by the Bush administration, if there's anything that could be done about it. You know, I don't even know if that would ultimately change the outcome of what happened. You know, it's like, regardless of who did it, it's like... It was an atrocity.
Yeah.
No matter which way you spin it, so.
Because there's a lot of people that believe that there was no planes involved in the events of 9/11.
Yeah, that I'm very skeptical of, just because of what I witnessed with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually at Ground Zero 2 days later because my cousin was a police officer at the time,
mm-hmm.
and took me down there, and I saw. Debris that was, you know, from an airplane. So
you saw it yourself, yeah?
With my own eyeballs,
mm-hmm.
I witnessed a plane hit a building, and I saw debris from a plane at Ground Zero. So, I don't know who orchestrated it, but it's hard for me to believe that it was an airplane.
Like, myself, personally, like, I'm not a physicist or anything.
Now, if he witnessed it with his own eyeballs, I thought he was looking through a camera at the time. Which one was it, buddy, huh? Huh? All right, let's go back.
Like that, or, you know, but looking at the videos, some of the certain videos where you could actually see the plane going into the building, and it just kind of, it melds into the building, like with no breakage, no crumpling, no twisting or anything like that, like it's, a lot of people, like, especially a lot of professionals are saying that the videos of the planes going in, not yours, specifically, but other people's, where you could actually see it. Where their perspective is, you can see it going in, it's totally fake.
Yeah, who knows, you know, I mean...
Like, you work in the animation and stuff.
All I know is what I saw and what I videotaped. I don't support one theory or another. Whether it was fake, whether it was orchestrated, whether it was really terrorist, whether it was our own government, the only thing I know is that it was a tragedy and that thousands of people died. That's all I know. And it was a horrific event that affected me and all of my friends who were in the city at the time. And that's all I know. It was a tragedy. No matter what the truth behind it was, it's like people died. And I was down there and I saw people carrying away bags of body parts. And like, I don't care who did it or how it was done. All I know is that it was a horrible tragedy, you know?
Like you yourself, you're like a video animator or like digital video?
Motion graphics.
Like how hard do you think with your, in your professional opinion, would it be for them to have made fake videos? Not very hard at all, or?
No, it would be totally easy. It would be, you know, completely feasible in order to create those fake videos.
And like seeing like...
Okay, did you hear that? Let's see if we can play that back again. That was a very, very key phrase there. Let's listen again.
Feasible in order to create those fake videos.
That would have been totally feasible to create those fake videos. Those fake videos. What fake videos is he talking about? Not it would have been feasible to create fake videos, but those fake videos. That means he has in mind specific fake videos that would have been feasible to create.
You know, completely feasible in order to create those fake videos.
And like seeing like the nose of the plane coming out the other side of the building intact, like that's a total impossibility in reality. Like,
yes, you know, ultimately all I know is what I saw, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I witnessed a building being hit by a plane. It's like, I don't know how they can fake that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're beyond the videos that people have seen and speculated were fake. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses who saw that. So it's like, I know how to make a Photoshop photograph, and I know how to make a video, you know, altered and animated and...
Oh, I bet you do. Just in case, sorry, I accidentally stepped on that. But listen to that. He says he knows how to make an altered video.
Feasible in order to create those fake videos.
And, like, seeing, like, the nose of the plane coming out the other side of the building intact. Like, that's a total impossibility in reality. Like,
yes, you know, ultimately, all I know is what I saw, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I witnessed a building being hit by a plane. It's like, I don't know how they can fake that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're beyond the videos that people have seen and speculated were fake. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses who saw that. So it's like, I know how to make a Photoshop photograph, and I know how to make a video, you know, altered and animated and use computer graphics or whatever to make something look fake, you know.
You do, I bet you
yeah,
do.
I don't know how to orchestrate something so that hundreds of eyewitnesses see something that didn't really happen. So, as soon as they tell me the technology exists that can do that, besides their hologram.
Well, if you really want to know, you want to check out our classic episode, 9/11 War of the Worlds, where we talk about how people can be convinced that television is reality and reality is less than television.
Graham theory, then maybe I will accept that as a possible theory, but...
Have you seen, like,
I
CNN?
I can and trust with my eyeballs and what I saw, you know?
You saw... Did you see, like, the CNN footage that has the same, like, perspective as your video did? Like,
I did. That's my footage. They have my... CNN was next door to where I worked at the time, and I gave them my footage. HBO also used my footage for a documentary.
Oh, so the video footage they played on CNN was your actual footage?
Some of it, probably, yeah.
Like, what did they do? Did they buy it off you, or...?
No, I gave it to them for free. I'm not going to make money off of the tragedy of thousands of people dying.
So, like, do they hold all the rights and everything to your video?
No, there's no rights to it.
That is excellent. That means we can all use the video to show how fake it is. Thank you for telling us there are no rights to that video, sir. You are very kind. That's probably why he shut everything down.
Just kind of gave it to them, like, out of a, whatever you call, like, a friendly gesture here. This was a very, you know, important moment in history. Please take this kind
of... Obligation of having documentation of the event. to the news people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, sorry to call you again. I just wanted to get that quick question about where you were when you had taken the footage.
Yeah, One Penn Plaza,
24th floor,
a company called Wave Express.
Okay.
But, you know, people are going to spin it however the way they want to spin it. People want to believe that it wasn't real. They're more than happy to go upon that theory. My question to them is, would be, what would be the motivation? Why would someone want to orchestrate that event? And even if it wasn't planned, it's undeniable that the buildings were demolished and people died.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely...
Regardless of how it happened, what's the motivation? I don't care if it was a hologram, but it's like, who would do it and why? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah, like I spoke to a guy, his name's David Hanshu. He works for the New York Daily News, and he was standing right under the tower at the time of the second hit, and he's, like, baffled beyond belief that he never saw a plane go in.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was
right. Like I said, I don't really care if it was a plane or not. I'm just like, who and why would it be orchestrated, you know? Was it terrorists? Was it our own government? That's my ultimate question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks for your time again, Devin. Sorry to bother you.
That's all right. Good luck with your pursuit. I fully support people to continue the investigation of this. I don't think we have heard the whole story, and I support people like you who are trying to get to the bottom of it. Definitely, you know, good luck with your pursuit.
Okay, well, you take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Of course, if he really fully supported these independent pursuits, he would not have taken down his YouTube account. He would have not have taken down bodyatomic.com, which is where he had the video. Of course, we do have a copy of his video, and we'll put up a link to that at total411.info, and maybe if you're listening on the podcast, the link will be right there. If you're live, pop into our chat room, and I'll throw that link at you. And there you have it. And if, Jeff mentioned David Hensch, or whatever the guy's name is. We played that phone call from Jeff last week, so as always, we thank Jeff for his great work. You want to go ahead and check out 911movement.org. 911movement.org. That is a forum-driven site run by, among others, another friend of the program, KT from Killtown. Go over there, check that out, click on General Discussion, and then find the thread, Devin Clark Fails Lie Detector. Devin Clark, of course, is a gentleman we just heard from right there. And there's a post there from Shure, S-H-U-R-E. That is the pseudonym for our interviewer right there, Jeff Hill from Canada. And he ran the phone call that you just heard through some free lie detector software. And he found high lying levels, according to that software. So, you know, there you have it. You can argue for or against the software. But the software does say that guy was lying, which isn't really surprising. But on the other hand, he says faking those videos is totally feasible. So what videos? Well, those videos, the one we've been talking about right here on Total Information Radio. Anyway, there you have it. We have a few minutes left in the show. We do run long sometimes, so if you want to push our show a little bit further and you're in a live audience, you can call in at 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-REVERE-0. I did promise a little bit of news on those shootings last week. I got a story right here from hstoday.us, which is kind of it's an industry news service for these, you know, Homeland Security professionals, you know, these control freak pigs sucking in at the teat of the Homeland Surveillance Industrial Complex. And just a fun little story. DHS advisor was present at Omaha Mall during shooting. And again, as I said, opening up the program, hat tip to legitgov.org by Mickey McCarter, HS Today Washington correspondent. An advisor from the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, was present at the Westroads Mall in Omaha, Nebraska during the attack by deranged 19-year-old gunman Robert Hawkins on Wednesday, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff revealed at a press conference yesterday. And this story is Dateline December 7th. So I guess Chertoff revealed this on December 6th. Which would have been last Thursday, so this is the day after the shooting. Chertoff revealed that his department had long been preoccupied with the potential threat to malls, you know, I bet. Noting that shopping malls are private property and owners are responsible for their security, Chertoff stated that DHS has been working with commercial entities and local police departments to encourage security upgrades, yeah, right, at commercial facilities. Quote, Chertoff, "This past fall, we held regional training seminars in 12 cities across the country to talk about things like IED, that's improvised explosive devices, and vehicle-borne IED prevention and soft-target awareness," Chertoff noted. "We do work with the Commercial Facility Sector Security Group to talk about the best practices and also convey intelligence and information about the kind of things that are out there. DHS protective security advisors also visit various commercial facilities and make recommendations for security improvements," the secretary said. One such advisor was visiting the Westroads Mall at the time of the gunman attack to discuss IEDs with mall security. Can you imagine talking with IEDs with mall security guards? He revealed. The mall had received $45,000 under grant from the Buffer Zone Protection Plan to protect against vehicle-borne IEDs by deploying bollards at mall entrances. I believe a bollard, those are those large, creepy concrete barriers. And if you've been to New York, too, but I was going to say, if you've been to Washington since 2001, even really since Oklahoma City in 1995 when they started putting these, they blocked off the street in front of the White House by putting these up. Just these ugly concrete barriers that are everywhere in Washington, D.C., and several places throughout Manhattan, southern Manhattan particularly. You'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, where was I? Deploying these bollards at mall entrances, portable barriers, and communication systems. Chertoff did not give the advisor's name. Wasn't that special? Chertoff emphasized, however, that U.S. society is open in commercial marketplaces cannot bear the burden of too many security measures on top of each other. Quote Chertoff again. "So we want to have the right balance between putting in some prudent security measures, but also not so confining the ability to enter our commercial retail establishments that people don't wind up not wanting to go shop." Whatever, they missed a negative on that quiz there. Oh, by the way, we have posted a total411.info and total911.info Kucinich quiz on 9/11 and SDI. Pretty fun video. Nico helped, one of the very first 9/11 researchers, you know, starting on 9/11, asked Dennis Kucinich at a recent campaign appearance about the connection between Star Wars and 9/11. And Kucinich told a couple interesting anecdotes. Kucinich has been against the weaponization of space for a long time. That's a pretty interesting interview. We also have up at total411.info illegal wiretap bills in Congress this week. Some information there on some of the different pending legislation that the Senate might pass regarding the unconstitutional measures taken to wiretap your phone calls. And again, we know that the NSA has been hardwired into the phone infrastructure, not really for years, but for decades. But what these bills do is they legitimize it by, you know, making it easier for the rest of the government to pull that information out of the NSA computers and use it to spy on you, I don't want to say legally, but certainly not lawfully, but in some twisted sense, legally, so they can they can throw you in jail and get away with it, or kidnap you and get away with it, based on these wiretaps. Also, I didn't mention this in the Ron Paul update. Libertarian Party opens the door to Ron Paul. Of course, Ron Paul, Libertarian presidential nominee in 1988. They're trying to make it easy for him to run again on their ticket. That should be interesting. And again, I back on this story about the mass shooting last week, the kind of conventional conspiracy story out there is that, you know, what we saw was just another weird false flag op with this kid, because Bush was in Omaha to talk about mental screening, and then you have the kids supposedly who needs mental screening, kills everybody, and that means we need to have our guns taken away from us and we all need to be put on Prozac. But a reader of the site posted in comments kind of a transcript from John Stadtmiller at Republic Broadcasting, and you know, you can take or leave what he says, but anyway, what he's saying is that the shooters were allegedly military snipers targeting Secret Service agents who were posing as mall employees in preparation for a visit to that store that day by George W. Bush. So supposedly Bush was going to go to the mall, and there were military snipers there, possibly a rogue pro-war with Iran faction who wanted to kill Bush and, I guess, get Cheney in there so they could attack Iran, is, I guess, what the subtext there is. So that's kind of the even further out, more unconventional conspiracy story. Even so, as far as that goes, I think there's actually an error in these comments. They're saying that the alleged lone nut Robert Hawkins had the same name as the CIA agent in Fox TV's infamous lone gunman pilot episode. That's not true, but Robert Hawkins is the name of a CIA agent in the post-apocalyptic television series called Jericho, which is on CBS, and I think they'll show some more episodes starting in January or February. And that is about after nuclear bombs go off in the U.S. and there's a CIA agent named Robert Hawkins in the small town of Jericho, which survived the nuclear Holocaust and you know, was it an inside job and what side is he on and so on and so forth. So there you go. And they have also the commenter posted the latest from Sorcha Fall, F-A-A-L. That's another interesting website that a lot of people read. And basically, you really can't take that website. That's whatdoesitmean.com. That website, basically, from our analysis here at Total Information Radio, is basically kind of a front for Russian intelligence. So you can read that and get an idea of what Russian intelligence is saying. That doesn't mean it's true or it's not true. You know, any good disinformation is 90% true. And so you take into account when do the Russians want to tell the truth about what's going on in America and when don't they. And, of course, there's so much shady shit going on down here that they generally want to expose it to make us look bad. They don't generally need to lie, but, of course, they will sometimes. So it looks like they're kind of pushing the same story that Stadtmiller was, so that's probably where Stadtmiller was getting his information. And again, you know, John Stadtmiller, Republic Broadcasting, take that for what it's worth. I'm sure a lot of our listeners know what his history is. Anyway, it is 11:06 p.m. I think we are going to wind up the program now. Stay tuned for, if you're in our live audience, stay tuned for the replay of the Jack Blood Show dissection of the Lenin assassination. And if you're in our podcast audience, do check that out on our podcast feed. We're going to call it a night for tonight. And actually, another quick programming note. This might be our last show of 2007. Who knows? We might be back. Maybe we'll have a pre-recorded show or something. But I would say at least 50% chance this is the last Total Information Radio for 2007. But who knows, we might come back pre-recorded or even live on New Year's Eve. So stay tuned. Always stay tuned to Revere Radio Network. And do go to revereradionetwork.com or, last resort, go to revere.total411.info and click on the Make a Donation link there. That is a PayPal link. And we could use some money because we need to get our If you're a fan of the Revere Radio forums, those are down right now. And if you want the forums back, we're going to need a little bit of scratch to put up the hosting. And we can get a pretty good deal on the hosting. We can set it up for a good 2 years in advance. We just need, I think, $150 or something to get that going. So do check that out. And we also have our streaming and phone bills as well. Not that any of you bother to call in tonight. Of course, I told a couple people not to call in, so that's okay. We wanted to stay on our topics tonight because they were very important. Anyway, we're done. Total401.info, revereradio.network. Stay tuned, always. Peace.
Rumors, rants, and debates. It's the worldwide home of free speech radio. RevereRadioNetwork.com. Total free speech, even when it's ugly.